We've come to the end of our sermon series on the book of Numbers. Now, for nearly 40 years, the Israelites wandered through the wilderness. It was a troubling time for them as they dealt with hunger and thirst and all kinds of dangers and disruptions. They longed for a more normal life. Today, we will look at one last story that comes out of the 21st chapter of Numbers. The Israelites have not yet reached the Promised Land, but as we will see, they seem to have reached a turning point. Now, for far too long, they have rebelled and rebelled again. They've not trusted God. They haven't shown much faith. But finally, this seems to be changing as they confess of their sin and recommit themselves to the ways of God. And they do so because they have finally found some hope. So let's listen now to our scripture reading. I will read verses 4 through 9 of chapter 21. And the scripture says, "From Mount Hor they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses, 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food.' Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live.' So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live." Amen. You know that feeling you get when you jump into your car because you're late for an appointment and you need to get there fast, but as soon as you start driving, you get stuck behind the slowest driver in the history of humankind? Well, it's not a good feeling. You become irritated, even frustrated, and if you're not careful, you might make a mistake. Impatience is the mother of mistakes because it leads to stress, worry, complaining, and even poor decisions. Now, the Israelites acted like this when they left Mount Hor. They were eager to move closer to the Promised Land, but they were delayed because they had to make a detour around Edom, and they quickly became impatient. When we're impatient, we tend to make mistakes, and sometimes our mistakes hurt other people. It is unfortunate when this happens, and we make life even harder than it needs to be when we won't admit what we've done. Now, we're not always aware of our wrongdoing, but when we're able to see what we've done or who we've hurt, we have the opportunity to make a confession. We can acknowledge the wrong we've done and start working to repair that broken relationship. And the beauty of confession is that it leads to hope and life and renewal, which is something the Israelites desperately needed. They were frustrated about having to take that detour around Edom, and then they became impatient. The Hebrew word for impatient in verse 4 is katsar, but it can also be translated as discouraged. And being discouraged explains why the Israelites said in verse 4, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" Now, the Israelites seem to have lost hope. They didn't believe the Lord was leading them toward a prosperous life in the Promised Land. If anything, they thought God was trying to kill them. They just didn't see how God's plan for them could lead through hardship and suffering, and they certainly didn't trust God. So they complained. They griped and grumbled against God and Moses with the same laundry list of complaints that they've had for years. Now, the Lord responded to their lack of faith by sending a swarm of snakes to bite and poison them. Now, this sounds like something out of an Indiana Jones movie, but when we take the time to reflect on this story and dive deep into this scripture, we uncover a wealth of meaning, especially with the serpents. Now, on one level, these serpents represent the physical hardships that the Israelites encountered on their way to the Promised Land. Following God wasn't easy for them. Along the way, they faced hunger and thirst and scorpions and now poisonous snakes. Their journey through the wilderness involved one struggle after another. Another level of meaning is revealed when we recognize that serpents were revered in the ancient world as a symbol of both life and death. Now, we may not initially think of the serpent as a sign for life, but for people in the ancient world, it represented fertility, life, and healing. And to this day, the snake is even used as a part of the symbol for medicine. Now, the death part of this symbol, I think, is much easier for us to understand because we know that poisonous snake bites are not a good thing. Snake bites can be fatal. And on top of this, the serpent is a symbol in the Bible for evil and sin. And God sent snakes to the people of Israel as a sign of their wrongdoing. After all, they kept caving into their temptations. And we often think of the serpent as the one who does the tempting. The third chapter of Genesis tells us that the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal, and that it tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were then punished by God as a result of their failure to resist the serpent's temptation. The Israelites were also punished for failing to resist the temptation to go back to Egypt. They were looking for a life of ease and comfort, and they thought Egypt was the answer. They'd bought into the lies that life back there would be better than life with God. And so they doubted God's care. The bottom line is that the Israelites were deceived, and their souls were poisoned to the point that they did not trust in the goodness of God and His promises and plan for them. Being bitten by snakes was obviously painful and caused a great deal of hardship for the Israelites. Ultimately, though, it served as a sign of God's judgment on them. They had gone astray, and God punished them. In response to this, the Israelites were moved to confession. But confessing their sins was not something the Israelites did very well or very often. This confession in the 21st chapter of Numbers is one of only two confessions in the whole book. So this stands out. It marks a turning point. The Israelites had finally recognized their sin. And the people said to Moses in verse 7, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." God heard their confession, but the Lord did not take away the snakes. And He didn't simply forgive them of their sin and heal them. Instead, God commanded Moses to construct a bronze serpent and to set it on a pole. He then raised it up so that all who had been bitten could see it and then be healed. By looking at the bronze serpent, the people, of course, would have saw many different things. They saw in that symbol the sufferings of their journey, but they also saw the judgment of God. The Israelites had rejected the Lord and the Lord's ways, and instead they had chosen to follow their own sinful ways, which they had done time and time again. And so the bronze serpent really is a fitting symbol for all of their rebellions. But the bronze serpent is more than just a symbol for their rebellions and God's judgment. It's also a sign of God's victory over the serpent. Now, back in the times of the Old Testament, victorious armies were known for placing the heads of their victims on the tips of their spears. And in a similar way, the bronze serpent placed on a pole and then lifted up shows that God is victorious, that God is more powerful than the serpent. After all, God is the one who healed the people. And thus, the bronze snake is a symbol of not only God's power, but also God's compassion and his desire to heal the people and to save them and to bring them life. God promised Moses in verse 8 that anyone who had been bitten can be saved by looking at the bronze serpent. And the act of looking at the bronze serpent was an act of looking at their own sin and God's judgment on them. And that amounted to an acknowledgement of their sin. They were recognizing their mistakes. And by confessing what they've done, the Israelites demonstrated a desire to get back on the right track. They wanted to recommit themselves to the ways of God. This was a turning point because the Israelites were learning that the way to the promised land is one of confession, repentance, and recommitment. They were learning to live a life of faith. And when you think about how rebellious they had been, you quickly see that this marks a dramatic shift. And this change happened because they finally found some hope. Now, Jesus wanted his disciples and all those who would follow him to also live with hope. And he gave them a reason to have hope. Jesus, in fact, used this story from Numbers as a part of his teaching in the Gospel of John. In chapter 3, he said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." In this teaching, a teaching full of hope, Jesus connected the bronze serpent to the cross. The bronze serpent was a symbol of Israel's rejection of God, and the cross is a symbol of the world's rejection of Jesus. Jesus was lifted up and nailed to a cross because the world rejected him as the true king, and yet Jesus bared the weight of this judgment and promised that all who look to him will be saved. Now we can have hope because the cross, like the bronze serpent, symbolizes God's victory. The cross is a symbol of God's victory over sin. Jesus, of course, was tempted to follow the ways of Satan, but he resisted it. And through his obedience on the cross, Jesus makes healing and forgiveness and eternal life available to all who would follow him. And so Jesus is the reason for our hope. And when we have hope, the way we live is transformed. When the Israelites looked at the bronze serpent, they found hope in healing. And in response to this, they made a recommitment to the ways of God. When we look to Jesus Christ, we find hope and healing from our sin, and we're reminded that Jesus calls on all who would follow him to take up their own cross and follow in the costly way of discipleship. Discipleship is grounded in a commitment to the ways of God, and we do this imperfectly because of our sin. But in Jesus Christ, we see one who lived with a total and perfect commitment. Jesus fulfilled the purposes for which we were created, and that is to be obedient to God, to have God's image shine in and through us, and to live in full fellowship with God, with each other, and with all creation. Jesus walked faithfully through the wilderness, and he invites us to follow him as we walk through our own wilderness. And as we follow, we will find the strength and the faith to be obedient to God. And most of all, we will discover hope because God is working for our salvation. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we have hope because of Jesus Christ. We have hope because you are working for our salvation. And because of this hope, we pray that we will live in a transformed way. Today, we recommit ourselves to your ways because we want to be faithful in all that we do. And we pray that we will share this hope that we have found in Jesus Christ, with our world. It is in the holy name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.